Take our Bibles tonight. We're looking in the book of 2 John. 2 Epistle of John, over next to the book of Jude, over next to the book of Revelation. The book of 2 John. Book of 2 John. We've been in this book for, I think, a couple of Sunday nights, and we're here again tonight. I feel like we probably didn't cover, but we did try to discuss some things in the first six verses of this little book. But we're gonna read the entire book tonight, and then we'll try to focus on verse 7 and 8, and let's read together. 2 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk after his commandments, and this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Pray with me. For me, Father, thank you for the day again. Lord, we need you tonight. I want to be clear in my presentation. I want us to be able to share the truth that's needed in the service tonight. And surely there is need of all the preaching teaching of the Word of God. I'm confident that surely there's things that are of utmost importance. There's things that probably are not as important as other matters, but surely there is a need and an importance about the scriptures that we've read this evening. Please help me. Please help me to be able to think clearly, that I could speak clearly. Help us tonight. I humbly beg to be able to get the truth that's here across to our hearts tonight, and I'll be grateful or what you do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pointed out previously the fact of what has been declared in this epistle has much to do with truth. I think it's five times in these first three verses that you find the word truth. I think truth is very important. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I assure you tonight, everybody is not walking after the truth. I assure you tonight, a lot of people believe things that are not really the truth. And we need, according to what we've already studied, we need to know the truth. That's the reason you ought to be in church. The reason you ought to be in Sunday school. You have an opportunity to go to Bible study. You ought to be in Bible study. You ought to get all that you can from the Word of God, for this is a book of truth. You may read a commentary and it may have some fallacy in it, but this book is a book of truth. And we are required to know the truth. There was a time when ignorance God winked at, but he commands all men everywhere now to repent. You're to know the truth. My, what an opportunity we have in this Bible Belt, in this area that we live in, to know the truth of the Word of God. I'm not an educated person, to say highly educated. I don't have any degrees. I do run a temperature every once in a while, but I don't have any degrees. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that I got around some folk that know the truth and preach the truth and gave me the truth of the Word of God. So we're to know the truth. And then after we learn the truth, we're to walk in the truth. That's what John says. I'm rejoiced when I find that your children are walking in the truth. And not only are we to know the truth and to walk in the truth, and our subject we pick up with tonight is that we must abide in the truth. Don't get carried away with something that's not true. Stay with the truth. And in so doing, we oppose the error that is around us. I really believe that we are to know the truth and abide by the truth, but I believe we are to stand against the error in our world today, especially religious error. You know, a lot of people don't like for you to call any names or to say anything about any certain religion, but I will tell you, the Apostle Paul called names when he wrote the Bible, and he said, "You beware of these people, for they have done us much harm." So we are to expose error as we walk in the truth and as we abide in the truth. Now John says here, verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world. There are those that feel like that these deceivers, the thing that's implied here, that they had left the church, and that does happen a lot of time. I've talked to different, I'm almost sure more than once, I've heard one of the Jehovah's Witnesses tell me, "I used to be a Baptist." So we're not to just know the truth and for a while walk in the truth, but we are to abide in the truth. For John said, many deceivers are entered into the world. The deceivers. A deceiver implies more than teaching false doctrine. It includes leading people into wrong living. And that happens even today. There are folk that will say, "Oh, well, we're living under grace and the Lord understands." And they live a life of licentiousness. I can't say the word, but a life of pleasure and sin and rebellion to the Word of God. And may the Lord help us to understand, as I've said so many times, everything that glitters is not gold. Many deceivers. Do you not think it's true today? Well, sure it is. The Bible said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not getting any better, and it's not going to get better until the Lord Jesus comes back. But before he comes back, the Antichrist, the man of sin that opposes God, exalts himself above all that's called God, sits in the temple and declares himself to be God. I'm telling you, all coming toward that, and that will be the climax of all of the deception and all the spirit of Antichrist that we have in our world today. So may the Lord help us to know. Now, there is reason for us studying these things. May not mean much to you, but there is reason for studying this. One reason for us studying this is I don't think I'm going to be shaken by false doctrine. I don't. I believe the truth concerning the Word of God, and I don't think I'm going to be shaken. And here sits Brother Sammy in his 80s, been in church years and years and years, and he's not an educated man, but he knows the truth of the gospel, and he knows who Jesus is, and we believe the Bible. And I don't think there's much possibility of Brother Sammy getting shaken away from the truth. But I'm looking tonight at more than one teenager and young people that are seated in our sanctuary tonight, and I promise you, they're probably somewhere in the educational system or somewhere in the near future, they're going to have to deal with this spirit of Antichrist that's in our world today. So if you don't listen, it's your fault, but I challenge especially every young person in this building tonight to hear what I've got to say, for there's all kinds of deception and all kinds of deceivers in our world tonight. Lord, help us. Many deceivers, John says, and Peter refers to them as false teachers. We've done studied that a few weeks ago. 2 Peter 2:2, and he said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. And the word pernicious means that which will destroy or ruin. And I'm here to tell you, there is teaching, there's religion, there's propaganda, there's all kind of philosophy that will destroy the soul and destroy lives as it destroys the soul. Amen, that's right. Now, he said there's many deceivers entered into the world. They confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know this. You've been taught these truths, probably, at least most of you. But antichrist. Anti means both instead of and against. And I'm here to tell you, there's people that's not only against Christ, but there's people even today. And I know this all points to the man of sin, the Antichrist, that is presented in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm aware of that. But I'm here to believe tonight, and I think I'm right in believing this, there are religious leaders that they themselves really want to take the place of God and usher authority and rule over people, and those people literally to look to them as something great and worship them and honor them above that which is due honor to a servant of Jesus Christ. I tell you, you better stay focused on the Lord tonight. You better not get your eyes on some man that's got such a glowing ministry, or that has such charisma, or that, sounds so good. You better know that this, whoever they would be, is in line with the Word of God. I tell you tonight, there's a lot of people think that we independent Baptists and we fundamentalists, even that are not independent Baptists, there are a lot of folk that think that we're a bunch of dummies that's been raised in the hills of Tennessee and we don't know anything. I'm here to tell you, there are some intelligent, smart individuals, and they can teach us and have taught us why we believe the truths that we believe. It's amazing to me. I mean, I challenge you tonight. I challenge you young people. Marcus, Spencer, and all of you other young people. Seth, all of you young people here tonight. I'm here to tell you that it's not just that I'm an old fogey that I preach from, believe in, and propagate a King James Bible. Because this book declares the deity of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book teaches that he was virgin born, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, and was raised with a victorious resurrection. And it ain't every book that teaches that. And I challenge you young people, don't ever let them last you off as some type of an idiot or a fool or some unintelligent person because you believe in a King James Bible. This is God's book for English-speaking people. And I just felt like saying that because I believe it. And a lot of this other stuff denies the virgin birth. That's what we're dealing with tonight. The spirit of Antichrist that denies really who Jesus was. God's Son sent into this world. Amen. They confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Oh, dear Lord, teach us the truth. We need to abide in that truth. That means to remain true to the cardinal truths of the Word of God. The denial of the great truth of the incarnation of the Son of God, that is the spirit of Antichrist. This word, the deceivers here, many deceivers are entered into the world and they lead astray. They transgress the doctrine of Christ. A deceiver, one that makes to wonder, one that causes people to wonder from the truth, the faith they have in truth. People that will lead folk astray, cause them to wonder from the truth in their life that causes them to practice truth. Beware of any departure from the essential truths of Christianity, especially from the truths which relate to the person and work of our blessed Lord. A lot of people major on minors and minor on majors. I don't care how which way you part your hair. In the middle, on which side, it don't make no difference to me if you comb it straight back. And it don't matter to me if you, to be honest with you, if it's short enough, don't even comb it. I mean, all of that stuff is stuff that really don't amount to a whole lot. And I think we ought to do the best we can in our dress. I don't care if you wear a pair of khaki slacks or a pair of blue jeans to church. Do your best. Do your best. But the important thing in life is that we know who Jesus is and we stand for the truth of who the Son of God is, the Savior, the God-man that came into this world to take away our sin. Amen. I give you warning tonight, and I'm not mean. I'm just, I'm being fair. I'm being honest. I'm giving you things that concern me tonight. They really concern me. Now, it's no surprise and nothing new that I'm not going to always be here. I don't know how much longer I'll stay. I hope a little while. But there will come a day there'll have to be a transition made. And when that transition made, you know what? When they questioned me in this church before they called me, I'll never forget Ronnie Baker saying, "Just as gentle, but are you premillennial?" And I said, "I definitely am," because I was. I didn't have to change to be that. That's what I was. It's amazing what some folk believe and don't believe when you pinpoint them and really ask them the questions. And I challenge you, you need to know. In days to come, you need to know whether people are really for the truth or whether they're not really for the truth. That makes sense to you tonight? Makes a whole lot of sense to me. I hope it makes sense to you. Now, there it is, one of these days, this thing's going to end for us, and we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we need to abide in the truth. That's the reason we need to stay faithful and consistent in abiding in the truth. Because one day we're going to face the Lord. Now, look in verse number 8. Look to yourselves. In reality, that's who we ought to be concerned about. That's who I ought to be concerned about is myself. That's who you ought to be concerned about is yourself. I quoted some verses from John 21 this morning where the Lord said unto Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Three times it grieved Peter that the Lord said unto him, "Lovest thou me more than that?" Lovest thou me those three times? And when Peter made that declaration, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee," Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And he said, "Simon, when you was young, you girded yourself and you went where thou wouldest. But there'll be a day that you'll not gird yourself, but another shall gird thee and take thee where thou wouldest not." Speaking of the death that Peter was going to die. In other words, Jesus said, "Peter, one of these days your liberty is going to be taken away from you, and it's not going to be you putting your coat on. Another man's going to put your coat on, and they're going to lead you away, man, to take your life." But Peter asked that question as he looked to the disciple John, and he said, "And what shall this man do? If I'm going to have to die a martyr's death, what about John?" And Jesus said, "What is that to thee? If I will that he tarries till I come," if he don't have to die a martyr's death, "and if he lives unto the rapture, that don't concern you, Peter." A lot of folk are all concerned about what this and didn't do. Tell you something tonight, you better take great concern in your own personal walk and life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Pretty important. Pretty important. The Lord help us. It's pretty important. You see, there will be rewards in heaven. Those rewards in heaven will correspond with the acquisition that is made in our Christian character and the work that is accomplished for our Lord upon this earth. I promise you, the scriptures do not teach that we can merit salvation. And it really don't teach that we merit rewards. But it absolutely does teach that if we live our lives for Christ and we do good things and work for Him and honor Him, that we will be rewarded for our service that we do down here. Somebody says, "I don't care." Well, you ought to care. I know a little boy. He's a grown man now and done well. But he went to school. And he sort of made a joke out of things. And the school teacher sent home a paper, and it had an old frowning face on it. And, you know, and he made light of it. His mom said he even got tears in his eyes. Thousand wonders he ever got out of school. With an attitude, "I don't care." Did you know that's a whole lot the attitude of God's people anymore? It don't make no difference what you do, what you don't do. I mean, the Lord understands. Yeah, the Lord understands how you've got your priorities wrong. The Lord understands how you have your priorities wrong. He understands that. But, oh, yes, God's forgiving, God's patient, God is long-suffering. But it's going to end one of these days. We're going to face the Lord. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought." in studying this, and I've never seen it this way. I believe people are to look to themselves to receive a reward. But the way this is worded, John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Paul talks to the Galatians people. He said, that I have spent labor, my labor toward you has been in vain. He said, you observe days and months, and you're so religious, but you've missed the grace of God. I tell you, I surely do not want to pastor this church the 23 years that I've been here and not plant good seed into the lives of these young people. And I sure don't want you to turn a deaf ear to it and walk away and be led astray from the truths that I've taught. I've wasted my time on you if it don't land in your heart and you do something with it. And in one sense, of course, I've honored God, I've preached the word, I've done what I'm supposed to do. But in one sense, if you don't get a hold of the truth I'm sharing with you tonight, I spent 30 minutes here for nothing. But I want to tell you, I don't believe it's wasteful. I don't believe it's for nothing. I believe there's some young people going to believe the truths of God's word and stand on it and stand on it and keep standing on it. That's what we need. That's what we need. We're taught to be on our guard. Many deceivers are entering into the world. Don't be led astray from the true faith of Christ from the deceivers. Don't be led astray. I think we ought to stand for truth, don't you? Amen. Hey, we're not the most probably solid church in Rome County, but I'm going to tell you what we do have. We've got the truth. We preach the truth. Amen. Important matters is things we preach. Amen. This thing's important. This was important enough that John wrote the first epistle concerning it. And he wrote the second epistle to this lady and her family concerning this matter. Don't tell me it's not important that we don't know the truth, believe the truth, practice the truth, and abide the truth. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be an independent Baptist. I am not, hallelujah, I'm not ashamed to be an independent Baptist. That don't mean we're independent of God. It don't mean we're independent of other people. It don't mean that we're trying to fight a fight within our own selves. But I want to tell you one thing. We are independent of the modernistic movement that changes the Bible and denies the truth of really who Jesus really is. In reality, I'm done, but let me say this. If Jesus Christ was just another man, or if he was just God and wasn't man, we'd be in trouble. Amen? See, him being the God-man and coming down here, he understands our feelings. He took upon him not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. And he can be touched. He understands. I'm telling you. He suffered thirst. He suffered pain. Can you imagine Jesus taking those three best friends, Peter, James, and John. And he says, fellas, I'm going to go and pray and watch. And they went to sleep on him. They was really concerned, wasn't it? I mean, really. Three best friends. And I'm going to tell you, he knows what it is when you lose a friend. He knows what it is when a friend fails you. He knows what it is to feel the pain of loneliness and sorrow. He knows what it is to be lied upon. to be rejected. Oh, what a Savior we have tonight. The God-man came down here so that he could take hands yonder and take hands here and bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, what a Savior tonight. Folk have given their lives for the very truths that I've preached tonight. Jesus Christ is God's Son, the God-man, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, come into this world to die for sins. Let's bow our heads under. I wonder tonight. I wonder. Are you willing to stand for truth? Irregardless of cost, mockery, poke fun at you. Are you willing to sit in a classroom with all the infidelity and all the agnosticism and all the atheism? Are you willing to sit in a classroom like that and yet take a stand for God? I heard the story. I read it in a book. I think Warren Wiersbe, the one that presented this truth, it might not have been, but said years ago there was an atheist that rented him a hall, and he was going to give a big speech on why he was an atheist and why he believed that all this religion was nonsense. And that hall, in that hall were gathered numerous people. And he commenced making his spiel. And back in the balcony, two little girls stood up and they started singing, stand up for Jesus. And people began to rise all over that place. Amen. He defeated his own cause. Amen. Hey, you know what? There's people still, hey, I'm not down on the church. I'm for the church. There's people loves God. There's people real. There's people who pay the price. There's people, praise God, that love Jesus and they'll stand for the truth. And it ain't easy. But I'm trying to exhort you and challenge you tonight to stand for the truth. Amen. Are you willing to stand? You don't have to be mean to do it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself with a portion of the king's meat, the king's wine. Just purposed in his heart. That's how you're going to make it, young person. That's how you're going to make it. It's just purpose in my heart that I'm not going to get involved with this that's ungodly. I'm not going to get involved in this that's displeasing to God. Amen. I wonder tonight, is there a young person that needs to come, surrender your life to Christ and say, Lord, I want to stand. I want grace and courage. I want to stand. I want to be a real ambassador for the Lord Jesus. You see, you can touch lives, but you're going to have to stand. Amen. May the Lord help us. Father, thank you for the help you give us. I pray to bless the invitation. Somebody needs to come tonight. I beg, Lord, help them to step out and come. And not just come, but may they come with a purpose. And may they come and get some grace and some help and some strength in their heart and life tonight. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's stand and sing. God speak into your heart. Will you come? Will you come?
Stand up for Jesus. ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss, from victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Sing one more verse, Brother David, that's good. Sing another.
Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer.
Thank you for coming and listening tonight. One thing I want to leave with you, pray for our young people. Pray God help these teenagers and schoolboys and girls and folks that will be entering into college. Some's already entered into college. Pray, Lord, help them to stand for truth. Amen. Amen. Pray for them. All right.